Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome once again to Face to Face. We're glad that you're able to join us today, and we hope that you're doing well in what is obviously the greatest season of the year. And we're not talking about sports necessarily. We're talking about the fact that it's coming upon Christmas, and Christmas is the time when we celebrate the birth of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and that's why we are here. We're here because we believe that Jesus Christ is alive and well in the world of sports. I hear and read so many negative things these days. In fact, I just read a column by someone who wrote an article talking about how Christians are hypocrites and Christmas doesn't belong to Christians, but it belongs to everybody. And, it's Christ's Mass, which means that Jesus Christ is the center of it all. And we don't want to get away from that here at Face to Face. We want to let you know about athletes who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Columbus, Indiana has been very fortunate in that we've had a number of athletes come out of here who have been very good and have had Christ at the center of their lives. And we've got with us today a guy who made his name away from Indiana, where he grew up. But he went to New England, played for the Coast Guard Academy in basketball, and did extremely well. In fact, he became the leading all-time scorer and rebounder for the Coast Guard Academy, and that lasted for about a year. I think he might still be the leading rebounder, but he was surpassed a year later. And his name is Jeff Priebeck. He is in the Coast Guard, and he played for a local school here in Columbus, Columbus East High School, and then went on and had a fantastic career. But more than that, he has a fantastic testimony about knowing Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And we thought you'd like to hear this story. This is probably somebody, unless you're from Columbus, and maybe even if you're in Columbus, you don't remember this name. But this is somebody who's made his mark by being in the Coast Guard Hall of Fame for basketball, and actually he's in the New England Basketball Hall of Fame. So that certainly gives him credentials as far as basketball goes. And also, of course, he has credentials on the court. So we thought you'd like to hear this interview, and that's why we bring it up to you today. In a minute, we'll take a break, and then when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we had with Jeff Priebeck of the United States Coast Guard. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. And today our guest is Jeff Priebeck. He is a former player for the United States Coast Guard Academy. And recently inducted into the Coast Guard Hall of Fame. He's also inducted into the New England Basketball Hall of Fame. Had a great career at the Coast Guard, second all-time in points, 1,614 points, 1,114 rebounds. Jeff, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Thanks, Tom.
And as a disclaimer here, Jeff is from Columbus, Indiana, where I'm from, obviously, and from where Face to Face is from. Not only that, I did his play-by-play, did his broadcast for many years, and he lived across the street. So, Jeff, it's good to have you back.
Good to be back in the neighborhood.
You played for the Coast Guard from 2004 to 2008, correct?
That's it.
Tell me a little bit, what made you decide, coming from central Indiana, south central Indiana, what made you decide to play for the Coast Guard?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, growing up in the Midwest, never really left the Midwest, and, looked at the Coast Guard as just an opportunity just to see another part of the country, and also an opportunity to serve my country. I was in high school when 9/11 happened, and so that was always something in the back of my mind, just the opportunity to serve. And so being able to use basketball as, you know, a ticket to, you know, be accepted in the Coast Guard Academy and then graduate from that institution, it was definitely something I wanted to make the most of.
How did they find you, or did you find them?
So I planted the seed. I think, especially, 14 years ago, it was a little bit different as far as recruiting tactics and measures today. So a lot of it was my mom and myself just, you know, clipping out newspaper articles and mailing it to the Coast Guard. And then once, you know, I think once they had somewhat of a body of work from, you know, things that I was doing at East, that's when they reached out. And then from there, it was kind of like liftoff.
You had a great career at Columbus East. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts about playing for Columbus East High School and your high school career.
You know, high school, I think looking back, it was something that I definitely took for granted. You know, growing up in basketball, being from, you know, Indiana, you know, you just think that it's just, this is what everyone does. And it's not until you leave the state when you realize how special it is to play in Indiana and how many people are invested in the program and invested in the players. And so I was really, you know, just proud of where I came from and definitely the benefiter of a lot of people's contributions, their time, their hard work, just to get me to the player that I was entering, you know, my first year at the Coast Guard Academy.
Were you highly recruited out of high school? You had a good career here, but did some of the local places come calling for you?
Well, I decided not to play my sophomore year. So, you know, being able to play, you know, varsity level freshman year, that I think definitely turned some heads. Got to go to some recruiting camps, did well, and, you know, some recruiting letters started trickling in. I decided just for personal reasons to step away my sophomore year. And I think, you know, once you do that, like, you really just kind of, you get taken off the list from a lot of people. And then junior year, picked it back up, and that was more of a trying time for me just to kind of get back into the flow. And then by senior year, that was obviously my best year, and was fortunate enough to get some accolades and some Player of the Year awards. The letters did come in, but it was more Division II, Division III. And then in my mind, like, it was already kind of established that, you know, if the Coast Guard was going to be a viable option, that was what I wanted to choose.
You did a year at prep school too, did you?
I did.
Was that in Georgia you went to prep school?
No, so the Coast Guard, they do have different prep school affiliated programs. I was fortunate enough to go to the Naval Academy's prep school in Newport, Rhode Island. And there, it was definitely took a concentrated course load with, you know, the STEM track major, and then also I was able to play with the Division I Navy recruits. They mostly send, I would say, the majority of the recruits to that prep school period for that first year, and it doesn't count against, you know, your playing time as an NCAA athlete, and there you're just able to get stronger and better, quicker, just playing with, like, some really top-notch competition.
What were some of the things that you had to do? Like you said, you had to get better, you had to get stronger, you had to get quicker. What were some of the things that you had to do when you went there? How did you do it? How did you become a better ball player at prep school?
Well, I just think, you know, looking back at that year, I survived just by the grace of God. You know, it's not only you're taking some rigorous course loads. I mean, going to a service academy, it's unlike any other college experience. So they want to make sure that you're prepared academically. And then, you know, you're not just entering into a college, you are enlisting in the military. I mean, you're being employed by the United States government. So, you know, having to go through that military indoctrination piece, not only for the summer internship piece, but also, like, for the year-long process, you know, that was a whole nother culture shock and change for me. And then adding on to that basketball, it was good because basketball was a release from everything, you know, from the classroom, from the military lifestyle. It was just an opportunity just to, you know, for 2 hours a day or for a game, just to forget yourself and kind of go back to those Indiana roots and just really, you know, that's where I really found the appreciation for, you know, how much I love basketball and, you know, how many doors it's opened for me. And I think I thrived in that environment for that year.
Yeah, Jeff, you talk about if you were a big-time recruit at a basketball school, basketball would be number one. It almost seems like academics is kind of in the background, your social life's in the background. What were some of the things that were the disciplines? I know you had probably some things that happened in the military academy that you have to go through that nobody else has to go through. What were some of the things that you had that you had to go through which were tough in themselves besides right. What you had to do with basketball?
Yeah, I mean, just anything and everything from, you know, getting accustomed to the military formalities, learning how to wear a uniform, the proper, you know, salutations, greetings, saluting for different officers and members of our organizations. You know, it wasn't so much at NAPS, but at the Coast Guard Academy, your first year, I mean, there's a lot of different thresholds that you need to satisfy before you can graduate and move on to the next class. You know, not being able to talk in the hallways, having to literally, you know, march around every other freshman cadet, and, you know, you can't talk when you're eating your food. You can't look around. You know, so it's a lot of it is history. You know, it's, you know, the time-honored traditions, and you don't really appreciate that going through it. But, you know, after you've kind of hit those benchmarks and moved on, you can kind of look back and say, you know, there's a lot of things to be proud of, and, you know, stuff that you've accomplished. I will say, though, you know, at NAPS, I there were times where I just, you know, didn't even go to the games. I told my coach, I'm like, hey, I'm struggling in this class, and, you know, I need to get a 2.0 to get accepted into the Coast Guard Academy. And, like, right now, that's the goal. That's the priority, because I wasn't going to accept failure. I wasn't going to accept defeat. And as much as I love Indiana, I didn't want to come back, you know, unless it was on my own terms. And so, you know, that was, I think, a big transformational piece for me, was saying, yeah, basketball used to be priority number one, and now it was further down the totem pole.
When you went to the Coast Guard, you walked on campus at the Coast Guard Academy. Their basketball was dreadful, I believe. I think they went 3-20 or something like that.
Yeah, 3-21.
Well, the year that you got there. When you graduated with what was called the Magnificent Seven, I read that. You guys had been to the NCAA Division III tournament, I think, a couple of times.
Yep, yeah.
And things changed completely. What turned it around in the time that you were there?
You know, I think it was a perfect storm of a lot of different factors. The first being, you know, we had a great coaching network and support system put in place, and they believed in us. And when I say us, we had a really strong freshman class come in, and, you know, following that 3-20, 3-21 season, you know, we were in a rebuilding process, and I think because of that, they were able to give us time. Myself and two other players that we all came in 2004, we started every single game. I think it was like 109 games.
I saw that, yeah.
And that was patience on the coaching staff, because we were young pups, kind of just, like, you know, put in the spotlight, and we failed a lot. And instead of getting the shepherd's hook and pulling us out or sitting us down, you know, it was baptism by fire, and they wanted us to learn, and they wanted us, you know, they were more involved and interested in the long play, right? Mm-hmm. You know, let's get through freshman year, let's build on sophomore year, junior, senior year, like, we should really start owning the conference. We should be getting, like, you know, tournament bids. We should really start to make some waves with other teams in and out of our conference.
And some of these Magnificent Seven, some of these players, where were some of them from? Were they all from basketball states like Indiana?
No, I mean, you know, and that's the beauty of, you know, all the service academies, but, you know, speaking for the Coast Guard Academy, you get so many different players and people from all walks of life, different areas. I mean, we had our two guards from Maryland and Georgia. Our center was from Connecticut. Our other forward was from Oregon. We had international players from Lithuania, two of them, actually. You know, so just from West Coast, East Coast, and then the Midwest. I mean, it was really cool just to get so many different players and their style of basketball and how that gelled and really kind of formed over the course of 4 years.
Jeff Priebick is our guest. He has made his mark at the Coast Guard Academy from 2004 to 2008, and a member now of the New England Basketball Hall of Fame. We will take a break and be back, so don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. Glad to have Jeff back. He sat in this chair that he's in before in my house, having lived across the street, and went off and made a name for himself. And one of the things about Jeff that I've always appreciated is his Christian faith. And I know that's very important to you. We've talked about that a number of times. Tell me, in the Coast Guard Academy, sometimes you're not allowed to talk about your faith as often as you could be maybe somewhere else. Tell me how your faith may have been tested, or what was your faith? What kind of trials or temptations, if you had any, did you go through while you were at the Coast Guard Academy?
Man, I think the biggest trial or temptation is just time and the lack thereof. I mean, just looking at all the credits that you're taking as a student, all the military requirements, the travel obligations, the trainings, and then put on basketball on top of that, you just don't have any time. And that was the biggest thing I struggled with, was, you know, prioritizing my schedule to include God. And, you know, a lot of times I failed on that, Tom. But, you know, through that process, you know, of having to fall down and pick yourself back up, you know, you really, you know, understood that God's number one. And he's the reason that I'm sitting with you today talking on this show, but also, you know, that I was able to make it through 4 years and still serving today. And, you know, I still use that as a benchmark, my time as a cadet, because... You know, in my schedule now, it's still busy. You know, you're still having to manage so many different obligations. But, you know, the number one thing is my relationship with Christ and making sure that that is at the forefront.
When did Jesus Christ come into your life, as you can remember?
So I'm really blessed just to have grown up with such an incredible family of strong Christians. And my grandparents did an after-school after-school program of just like children's Bible study, and it was great. We had neighborhood kids, and I remember accepting Christ, you know, when I was probably my daughter's age, like around 5 years old or so. And then, you know, from there, you know, just kept growing in my faith. And when I hit junior high, almost, you know, doing a summer camp with our church, just did like a recommitment, because I'm not saying, I was pretty young when I accepted Christ, but so many things had transpired in my life that I remember, you know, just being called and pressed just to almost like recommit. And, you know, it was just a surreal moment. But I look at those two instances as just, you know, I guess the foundational pillars of my Christian journey that continues today.
Let's go back and talk basketball just for a minute. You went to that Division III tournament in 2008. Did you expect that by the time you graduated from the Coast Guard that you would have had all the success that you had, basketball-wise?
No. I mean, you know, I was like, you know, I guess in a Coast Guard terms, like just a fish out of water. Like I had no idea what I was doing. So far away from home and being in the military, you know, I was just trying to keep my head above water. And, you know, basketball at least was something that I knew. And so I think that being in that environment, I thrived because it was almost like my safe place and something that I could retreat to. And that gave me momentum, right? You know what I mean? So following up with a good game, I had that positive energy and that momentum that I could carry back into our barracks and you know, keep studying for tests and grind out that schedule and that routine. You know, and then looking back, even in our tournament run senior year, it was, you didn't want to look too far in advance. We just wanted to keep it a game at a time because we were underdogs. I mean, you know, when you look at the Coast Guard Academy, I don't think basketball really is the first thing that comes to people's minds. So we were taken for granted for sure. And we knew that. So we were playing with a chip on our shoulder. But it was something that was really like a driving factor for us.
Well, you're in two Hall of Fames. You're in the Coast Guard Hall of Fame,
right?
Basketball, and you're in the New England Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
What does it mean to you to be in the New England Basketball Hall of Fame? I saw some of the names that are in there, and there are guys like Jimmy Pearsall, who I grew up watching play for the Boston Red Sox, and I think Billy Packer's in there, and there's some big-time names. What does it mean to you, and what was it like? What was the induction ceremony like?
Yeah, it was, I mean, both ceremonies for, you know, for Coast Guard and for New England have just been so humbling, and just, I mean, you look at myself as a player, but then just the huge network of coaches and friends and family and support systems that have been put in place to help me get where I'm at. I think the biggest difference for the New England Basketball Hall of Fame, that was voted on by coaches, you know, in the New England conferences. And it's not necessarily, it's definitely about stats. I get that. But it's more about like your reputation as a player, as a person, and, you know, you're joining a fraternity of, you know, just huge name players and coaches. And so they want to make sure that they're inducting the right people for the right reasons. And so, you know, that was what my coaching staff told me, because, you know, they didn't nominate me. You don't nominate your own. It was something that they received notification of, that the coaches in our conferences throughout the New England area had, you know, when this came up, my name was at their list, you know, or on their list. And so, man, that just really, I guess, just spoke volumes just to everyone that has gotten me to where I'm at today.
You're, of course, still in the Coast Guard. You've moved around. You're on your way to South Korea. Tell me a little bit about that. What's that? You're going to be over there for a couple of years?
No. Not a couple of years, just a couple of weeks.
I thought you were going to move to South Korea. Going to South Korea to visit.
Yeah. So
your assignment now is where?
So I'm a company officer at the Coast Guard Academy, and I work with the cadets. So you want to talk about making the full circle. 10 years ago, I was a cadet, just couldn't wait to get out of the academy and just live life and be in the Coast Guard and never come back to Connecticut. And now I'm back here 10 years later and, you know, speaking the truth and the gospel and, you know, trying to get everyone on board, It's been an incredible opportunity and experience, because I'm able to, you know, talk with the cadets and kind of be real with them, you know what I mean? And say, like, look, I was in your spot. I was in your shoes. I didn't want to be there either. I had to grind it out. You got to stay positive. Just get through it one day at a time. But, you know, going back to your original question with Korea, you know, we've got a lot of – so you got to put it in perspective that a lot of the countries, you know, overseas, they don't have navies like us. They've got Coast Guards. And so we work with a lot of international countries and their training and their programs to get them up to speed as far as like their Coast Guard operations. And so in Korea, they have a Korean Coast Guard Academy, and we've done a partnership with them. And, you know, the opportunity presented itself where I could go over there for a couple of weeks and just see how they do their trainings, meet with their cadets, visit some of their different Coast Guard units. We could share sea stories and, you know, just continue that partnership and, you know, and building up of two great programs.
So, that's great. Yeah. Jeff, it's great to have you back. We're out of time. Tell me, though, as we wrap it up today, what's your favorite verse?
Favorite verse, 2 Thessalonians 4:11-12. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody.
Jeff Priebeck, thanks again for spending time with us. Great to have you back, as I said, and congratulations and thank you for your testimony.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Jeff Priebeck, a member of the Coast Guard Hall of Fame in basketball and a member of the New England Basketball Hall of Fame. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more, so don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Jeff Priebeck of the United States Coast Guard. And certainly we want to wish all of you a happy holiday season. And I want to thank Jeff for coming on during this time. You know, when holidays, sometimes players come home, and that gave us an opportunity to talk to Jeff. But there are so many athletes. I mean, during this particular time of season, there are so many athletes that have Jesus as their testimony, the spokesperson for Jesus, whether they be in the NBA or whether they be in college basketball or whether they be in football or even baseball. Baseball's kind of taking a break right now, but there's still a lot of Christian athletes out there. And, you know, we have a lot of those on our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. And you can check out all the various things that are there and all the different athletes that we have up there, as well as some other articles. And just hope that this is a time when you can think about what Christ means to you, but also can think about what Christ is doing in the sports world. So hope you'll check that out. Once again, our website is at facetofaceradio.com. Well, as we close today, I want to take you to a passage from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Here's what it says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Nothing could be any better than that. And certainly that's what we hope that you're feeling right now. This is can be a season where everything can be kind of anxious. It can be a lot of anxiety. Give it all to God. Let Him handle it. Let Him take you through it. And enjoy and worship the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.